With the death of Pope John Paul II, we're going to hear a lot of calls in the media, on the news and talk radio, for a new pope with a new agenda. And some people, especially in the American church, are going to use this as an opportunity to lobby for some changes, changes to the Roman Catholic position on birth control, or that the church should allow women to become priests. It's that second issue that I want to address, because the ordination of women is not a trivial thing. It's not simply a teaching of the church, like that there are seven sacraments. The priesthood actually reflects the deepest mysteries of Christianity, and to compromise on this issue is to attack Christianity at its very core. In fact, to ordain women is to deny the very essence of Christianity. Now, I know that sounds silly and sounds like a ridiculously bold statement, but let me explain it. Patriarchy is at the heart of Christianity. Think of the chief symbols of our faith. The creed starts out, "I believe in one God, the Father." The Apostles' Creed says, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty." The Lord's Prayer begins, "Our Father." Now, these are not idle, accidental things. It's not a cultural relic that we can toss aside. Patriarchy is at the heart of Christianity because patriarchy is a consequence of the nature of the Trinity, and the Trinity is at the very core of the faith. The Trinity is the belief that God exists as a communion of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Note that it is not a commune of three persons, as if they were equal in all respects. The three persons are the same in substance, equal in power and glory, but there is a hierarchy in the Trinity. The Father is first, unbegotten. The Son is begotten of the Father. The Spirit proceeds. The Son is of the same essence of the Father, but he submits himself to the Father's will. In John 5, Jesus says that he can do nothing of himself, but he does what he sees the Father doing. The Father sent the Son into the world, so even though Jesus has the same essence and dignity as the Father, he submits himself to the Father. Also, even though the Son is God, the word, quote, God in Scripture often refers to the Father alone, because in some sense the Father represents the Trinity in a way that the Son and the Spirit do not. And that does not take away from the divinity of the other two persons. It just relates to the hierarchy of the Trinity. The same is true among humans. Man, the word man, or the person man, represents humanity in a way that woman does not. This is why gender-inclusive translations of the Bible are so horribly wrong. They try to twist and distort this notion that runs all throughout the warp and woof of Scripture from start to finish, which is that man represents all of humanity. And if man doesn't represent humanity, then Christ, as a man, didn't represent humanity. Consider the creation story. Adam was created first, and Eve was taken from Adam's side to be his helper. This is like the Son coming from the bosom of the Father. Or consider the fall into sin. Eve listened to the serpent and ate the fruit, and then, drumroll, nothing happened. It wasn't until Adam ate the fruit that their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. This is because Adam was the head of the human family. He represented mankind. Eve did not. This is why Christ, as a man, is able to redeem us. He is the second Adam, the new federal head of the human race. With all these things in mind, now consider the priest. His office comes down to two basic things: representing God to man and representing man to God. Now, what happened when the eternal Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, became a human? He became a man. This wasn't some chance thing, a toss of the coin, and it wasn't a cultural concession. The Son of God could not just as well have been a woman, because he has to fulfill the role of Adam, that is, the role of the head of the human race, and to do that, he had to be a man. The priest stands in the person of Christ, representing Christ to the people. Christ was a man. Therefore, the priest has to be a man, but not merely because Christ happened to be a man. It's not an accidental thing. The priest has to be a man for exactly the same reason that Christ had to be a man, because the Godhead is represented to humanity as a man. Remember, we confess belief in God the Father. We pray the Our Father. Patriarchy is part of the package. It is not an accident. It's not some cultural relic. It's not something we can change as we translate the Bible to make it seem more appropriate. It's at the very core. If you take patriarchy out of Christianity, you don't have Christianity any longer. Now, the priest also represents the people to God. He is the head of the local church in a similar way to the man being the head of the family. That's why, what a coincidence, we call priests father, because the father is naturally the head of the family, and the priest is the head of the local family. All of these things tie in directly with the very nature of the triune God, who is revealed in human form as a man in the person of Christ. The very idea of ordaining women throws all of this on its head. It throws the Trinity on its head. So, does this mean that women have less value? Of course not. Remember the doctrine of the Trinity. The Son is of the same essence as the Father. No Christian would say that the Son has less value than the Father. For heaven's sake, we worship Christ, the Son of God. But he is subject to the Father, just as the wife is subject to her husband. Not because the husband is better, but because that is the nature of this communion of persons. It's inherently hierarchical and, as expressed in the human person, patriarchal. The family should be a hierarchy of love, of course, but it is a hierarchy. This is why women can't be priests. It has nothing to do with a woman's ability to minister, her talents, her gifts, her dignity as a person, or any of those things. It's part of the mystery of the Trinity as it's revealed in humanity, who are created, male and female, in the image of God. That is, in the image of the triune God, who is a loving communion of persons. With all this in mind, we see that Jesus didn't accidentally choose 12 men to be his apostles. Paul didn't accidentally say that the man is the head of the home. The church didn't accidentally call priests father and only ordain men for 2,000 years. The all-male priesthood is of the very substance of the faith and cannot be compromised. Even if the church wanted to compromise on this point, it couldn't. The church can no more ordain a woman as a priest than it can make a man into a mother.